This is the April 2017 session of the International Low Vision Support Group. I'm Dan Roberts, and this month we welcome Ed Haynes, who will talk about the services of one of the most important professionals in the low vision team. Ed holds a bachelor's degree in religion and a master of arts degree in rehabilitation teaching of blind adults. Having worked for many years providing rehabilitation services to visually impaired people, he is now a vision rehabilitation therapist, or VRT, and team member of Low Vision Focus at Hadley, an initiative dedicated to assisting persons with low vision to live life to the fullest all year long. Whether you are considering using the services of a vision rehabilitation therapist, or if you would simply like to know more about this vital part of a low vision person's treatment, I know you'll enjoy and learn much from what Ed has to say.
Welcome to you all. The reason I'm presenting today is that I think it would be helpful for folks who are going to be working with a VRT, a vision rehabilitation therapist. I think it'd be helpful for them to understand a little bit about the job of the VRT and how they can work as a team with the VRT and how the VRT fits in with their whole process of adjustment. Often, the first diagnosis of an eye disease that causes low vision occurs in the office of an ophthalmologist or an optometrist. And these are medical professionals, and they will have a ton of information on the health of your eyes, and there will be a lot of discussion during doctor visits about treatment and prognosis. But very little information is given out about what to do when the treatments are over and it's time to go home. When they hear an eye doctor say there's nothing more that can be done, they may think that the doctor is speaking about their functional level, when in fact, the doctor is speaking about eye physiology. Now, here's the important part. Functionally speaking, or in terms of a person with low vision still conducting their lives independently, a whole lot can be done. We know this. A great deal can be done. And this is where the vision rehabilitation therapist comes in. So what's the job of a vision rehabilitation therapist? And here I'm going to read you the definition written by my mentors in graduate school. And here it is. Quote, to instruct people with vision impairments in utilizing the adaptive skills that allow them to cope with everyday life. Unquote. It's a subject for maybe a lot of other presentations to talk about specific adaptive skills. But we'll talk about them in general terms. And these adaptive skills fall under some general categories. And these can include home management, personal management, communications, leisure activities, counseling, and then finally, low vision skills themselves. If you're fortunate, you may actually have the opportunity to attend a rehabilitation center for the visually impaired. And a lot of VRTs work in that setting. But this presentation, I guess today, is really meant to focus on the VRT that visits and works with a person in their home. Now, the first phone call when they call you, it may be just to confirm the information of a referral, but it may also be to schedule an initial appointment in your home. The first thing is to just make sure you have enough time for that initial VRT visit. The first visit is usually an assessment. And that's where the VRT takes stock of how you do things, what things you'd like to accomplish, what your goals and priorities are. This first visit will probably take some time. It can take up to 2 hours. It depends. But certainly at least an hour. So make sure you have time for the VRT to conduct a complete assessment. You really are going to need to give your VRT as much undivided attention as possible. Now, this is really important. It's important for you to think about who you want to be present at your meeting with your VRT. It is totally common and acceptable and natural to want someone there with you, like a spouse or a relative or a child, etc. And actually, that's often really, really desirable. Sometimes spouses and family, they can help you remember all the information that you need to remember. That being said, sometimes having too much family present can be a distraction. And now I'd like to mention a few things you can do to prepare for your first visit. If you use any magnifiers, either handheld magnifiers or electronic magnifiers, or if you use sunglasses or any kind of low vision device, it really helps if you have those ready to show the VRT when they arrive. And the reason for that is the VRT will really want to know what works for you and what doesn't work for you. If you take medications, have your medications handy. The VRT, part of the assessment, they will want to know what you take and when you take it. And the reason for that is there may be ways to make this process easier for you. Now, here's another important thing you can do when you're preparing for a visit. Make a mental list. You can have a family member help you with this. Make a mental list of things that you used to do that vision loss is now making more difficult, or things that you have stopped doing altogether. And if possible, just try to prioritize those things just in your mind. Decide what's most important to you. And I'm going to say something now that I'm going to repeat several times in this presentation. Your visit with the VRT is not a test. There are no right or wrong answers to questions. Your VRT wants to know your feelings about vision loss. They will want to know what you miss and what you'd like to continue to do. Now finally, make a mental note of the history of your vision loss, because the VRT will be asking some questions about this. Also, they'll want to know, if they don't know already, the name of your eye specialist, your ophthalmologist, and they'll be curious about how often you go to see that individual. This is all information that will be helpful to the VRT as they help you design an instructional plan to help you regain your independence. Okay, we've talked about things to do to prepare for your VRT visit, and I'm going to give you just a short list of a few things not to do, and it's short. First of all, don't clean your house in preparation for a visit unless you want to for your own sake. As I mentioned before, the VRT is a professional who wants to see how you normally live. They're not a house guest. This is not a test. And if possible, unless there's a real serious reason, try not to cancel your appointment at the last minute. Most VRTs have a pretty large caseload, and they're stretched pretty thin, so they may not be able to get back to see you soon if your appointment is canceled at the last minute. But if obviously life gets in the way, so they'll be completely understanding if there's a good reason. And finally, I told you I was going to repeat this. This is really important. Don't be nervous. Working with your VRT is not a test. The VRT does not require you to do anything you don't want to do. This is all about you. It's all about finding ways to help you stay independent. So, as I said, there are no wrong things you can say, and there are no wrong questions to ask. So I'd like to talk a bit more in detail about the kinds of questions they'll be asking. The VRT wants to know how you go about your daily life, how you do what needs to be done, and what activities your vision loss has made difficult, what things are important to you. The VRT is going to want to know how you do specific daily tasks, like how you turn on your stove, or how you do your laundry, how do you tell time. And often, I have found, people have already made some adjustments to low vision, and they've come up with some solutions to doing tasks on their own, often great ones. It's terrific. But sometimes those adjustments can be improved upon. Now, I just want to give you some examples of what I mean by these kind of accommodations. If you can't see the telephone keypad to dial accurately anymore, to dial a phone number, a reasonable accommodation would be, and people have thought of this, is just to dial zero, put a bump dot or something or a mark on the zero, and let the operator do the dialing for you. And that works. That's a solution, but it actually costs some money, and it may not be the best solution. There are ways, in fact, of non-visually navigating a telephone keypad so that anyone can accurately dial numbers on their own. Now, occasionally, a solution to a difficult task is to just let someone else do it for you. That's also fine. But if you used to enjoy certain tasks, or you would prefer for personal reasons to do them on your own, let the VRT know. Now here's the main point of the VRT's visit. The VRT doesn't want you to just get by. The VRT doesn't want you to settle. So don't be afraid to give honest answers when questions are asked about how you accomplish your daily routine. Well, we talked about the questions the VRT is going to ask you in general terms, but now I'd like to be just a little more specific so you know what to expect. I mentioned earlier, right at the beginning of this presentation, that there are certain categories of activities that the VRT will be concentrating on. Well, let's go over them in a little more detail now. First, the VRT is going to want to know about the subject of food. Specifically, they'll want to know how you do your shopping. Are you able to find items in the store? Can you read price tags and ingredients on boxes? Can you find the food items in your kitchen cabinets once you've brought them home? In other words, can you differentiate between a can of noodle soup and a can of lentil soup, for instance? They'll want to know how you manage the tasks associated with cooking, like using your stove or oven or setting your microwave. And they'll want to know how you follow recipes, if you still use recipes, if you enjoy cooking, and how you measure ingredients. If there are specific parts of food preparation that you used to enjoy and no longer try to do because of vision loss, they will definitely want to know about those. I mentioned at the beginning of this presentation that the category of communications is important, and it really, really is. Communication is a general category, but it refers to how you keep track of the world and how the world keeps track of you, essentially. So it's a category referring to how you use the phone. How do you write or read letters? Do you make lists for others that they can read? Or do you make lists that you can read? Do you read for pleasure? Also, they'll want to know how you keep track of appointments. Do you have a calendar that you can see clearly? And also, they'll want to know how you tell time. Now, another important category is home management, and that includes things like, house cleaning, doing dishes, measuring detergents, operating laundry machines, folding clothes, ironing, all those kinds of things. So they'll be asking a lot of questions about home management. And the VRT will also want to know about your technology usage. They'll want to know if you have a computer that you no longer use, what kind it is. Sometimes folks have an iPad or a Kindle sitting around that maybe a grandchild gave to them or they bought and they thought they might be helpful, but they're not really using. And so the VRT will want to know if there's any technology in your life what you're using it for, and if you've given up using it because of your vision loss. Your VRT will also be interested in how you're coping with personal management. That means things like shaving, makeup, doing your hair. But I think, personally, the most important part of personal management is medication management. You need to be able to know that you can independently take the right pill at the right time. And the VRT will want to know if you're dropping pills. And if you do drop them, can you find them again? For those folks who have diabetes, the VRT will want to know about your diabetes management. They'll want to know if you can measure your own blood sugar, if your meter is legible to you, or if you have a talking meter. They'll want to know if you can draw your own insulin, etc. Now, I also mentioned low vision skills. And if you remember, I asked when I talked about preparing for your first visit, I said it'd be a good idea to gather all your magnifiers together. Because they will want to know all about the magnifiers you're using, and they'll want to know exactly how you use them. In other words, what jobs you use them for. They'll want to know what you like about them and what you don't like about them. Now, low vision skills, as I mentioned, also include assessing the lighting in your home and asking you about your lighting requirements. Do you need a lot of light to be able to see something close up? Are you sensitive, however, to glare inside or outside? Do you have task lighting? If you wear sunglasses when you're outside, and if you do, what kind of sunglasses you wear? Now, the VRT will also want to know about safety. And they'll probably ask you if you're tripping over things or bruising your shins, like on coffee tables or open dishwasher doors, that kind of thing. They may ask if you use a support cane. And this is something in my part of the Midwest, I always ask folks. I ask them if their washer and dryer is down in the basement, because it often is. And individuals with low vision find themselves having to cart their laundry up and down very dark basement stairs. It's always a concern of mine. So that's something I'll ask. They'll want to know if you call 911 with confidence. Can you call 911 with confidence if you need to, if someone else in your family needs help? Are you confident finding exits in your home? And also, if you need assistance when you're traveling to stores or church, etc., if you need assistance when you're going upstairs or going downstairs or finding curbs, navigating sidewalks, that kind of thing. Now, it's just as important and for them to know about your leisure activities, too, especially ones you've always enjoyed, and including the ones you've given up because of vision loss, if you have. And for instance, have you given up sewing because you can't thread a needle anymore? Or have you given up going out with friends because dining out makes you nervous? And then finally, the VRT will want to know about your feelings about your low vision. They really will want to know how you feel you're adjusting. And, almost as importantly, how your family members or other caregivers are adjusting. And they have a lot of information and can give you lots of hints on how to talk about your vision loss to family and friends, and this is very important, how to communicate when you do or you don't need help. Well, I'd like to go back now and sum up just a little bit. We talked about what the VRT, the vision rehabilitation therapist, does. We talked about things to consider when scheduling a visit, and things you can do to prepare for a visit. And finally, we talked in detail about that first visit, and the assessment, and the kinds of questions that the VRT will be asking. And if that sounds like a lot, it is. But as I mentioned before, you and your VRT are a team. you will be working together for possibly quite some time, maybe months. And this first visit will lay the foundation for the work you both will do together in the time to come. The most important thing is that you get to know each other and you make sure your VRT understands your priorities. I say this because sometimes the VRT, they know all this stuff that's going to help. They have all this information in their head, and they're eager to share it, and that's why they do the job in the first place. And they may rush into some solutions because they've done the job a while, and I'm speaking for myself, and they don't take time to actually think about what the person's own priorities are because they see so many wonderful solutions out there they know will help. There are just so many adaptive skills you can learn and aids that can help. Sometimes solutions require a bit of training, like learning to use your computer again, and some solutions may be solved quickly. For instance, a talking watch can help you tell time. A magnifier can help you read your pill bottles. But all those solutions have to be tailored toward your own priorities. Now, I will mention there's a few other ways, quite a few, that the VRT can assist you. And that can include, and don't be afraid to ask them about this, that can include helping refer you to other agencies or entities. They may help you sign up for the Library of Congress Talking Book Program if you're interested. They may have contact information of a support group for people with low vision, and they'll know when that group meets in your area and how to get a hold of them. They may be able to help you sign up for Hadley. Now, all of these things come into play when your VRT and you work together as a team. Your VRT's job really is to inform you of what adaptive skills and solutions are available and to help you prioritize which skills and solutions you'd like to focus on. And that's a lot, and that's normally a lot of it just in the first visit. So that's why I wanted to do this presentation. Now, as you continue to work together, try to keep open communication with your VRT. If your health changes or your living situation changes, give them a call and let them know. You will be working together, as I mentioned, possibly many months. Now, and it's important also to keep in mind your priorities will likely change, and this is the fun part, because it's really common to be inspired by early successes to try things you thought you could never do again. So often people start out on one path and they realize, gosh, I'm such a success at this. I think I could do this and this and this. For instance, if you learn you can thread a needle with low vision, and there's a way to do that, you know what? You may decide to take up sewing again. Or once you learn how to safely operate your oven, you may decide, gosh, I really used to enjoy baking. I think maybe I'd like to take that up. So your priorities will change, and as they change, make sure you communicate those to your VRT. Well, I'm going to close up now and just say that the most important thing I can ask anyone who's expecting to work with a VRT, the most important thing I can ask them to take away is to keep open to possibilities. Your vision rehabilitation therapist is there because there are things that can be done. Skills and aids and solutions that can increase your independence and your functional level. You really are a team, and you're working together toward one goal, and that's your independence. This seminar recording will be archived on the Low Vision Focus website at www.lowvisionfocus.org, as well as the Hadley Institute website, www.hadley.edu. Thanks, everybody, for participating today. I do value your feedback. We value your feedback. So please let us know what you thought of this seminar. And if you have future seminar topics or ideas about this subject, please send an email to feedback at hadley.edu. So again, everyone, thank you so much for attending.
For more information on how Low Vision Focus at Hadley can help you or someone you know, please call 855-830-5355 or visit the website at www.lowvisionfocus.org. All programs and materials are available at no cost, including the unedited full-length version of this presentation.